So this morning, we're going to take a little pause from the Beatitudes for 2 weeks. And today I have a Mother's Day message. I know it's 11:45, so give me some time, all right? We're not having church tonight, so as Glenn said, I got some credit. So we might go to, 12:23 today. Is that all right? I have a Mother's Day message, and then next Sunday, I'm not going to be here in the Sunday morning. I'm going to be preaching at Friendship Baptist Church, and then Pastor Steve is going to be preaching here. The Mercer Association of Churches, they do this pastor pulpit swap, and so I really don't want to do it, But I need to be a team player, right? And I think it'll be a blessing, man. You guys, most of you guys probably know Pastor Steve, and I'm sure he will do a great job, and I'm going to do my best there, and so that'll be fun. That'll be fun. We'll do that. But then the following Sunday, we'll definitely pick back up with the Beatitudes and continue on. So amen. This morning, we're going to be in John chapter 15, verse 9 through 17. John 15, 9 through 17. Let's pray. Father, as always, Lord, I thank you so much for the opportunity to brag on Jesus, the opportunity to lift up the name of Jesus and glorify. And God, I thank you for mothers. And I thank you for everything about this day and this Mother's Day as we recognize and honor our mothers. And this message today, Lord, let's do that. But let's also, more importantly, is recognize and honor you. And I ask you to bless this message in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so John chapter 15, verse 9 through 17. All right, let's read. And Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you." How many would like to have the joy of Jesus in you? "I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." Jesus says, "My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." Jesus says, "You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command," Jesus says, "love each other." All right, for this message, we're gonna focus on verses 12 and 13. That's really all the time I have to do that. We're going to focus on today, and we're going to see what Jesus has to say about love and friendship. Now, as we honor our mothers today, I think this will tie in nicely with a Mother's Day message. So, back to this verse. Jesus says, "My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." So that begs the question. In the Greek, what does this mean, lay down? Let's look at these two words, lay down, and what that really means. And let's look at life, because he says, lay down one's life. Okay, so let's look at those two. If you really study the Greek and lay down, it means this. It means to set aside, to bend as to place down and to carry no longer. It's like carrying something or having something or owning something, and you're willing to just lay it down. Lay it down. And then life, that word life, when it says lay down one's life, everybody say life. Okay, that word life basically means two things here. Okay, if you look at word life in the Greek, it means breath and it means soul. And the breath part definitely means just exactly it, that breath of life. That when someone lays down their life, in other words, they lay down their life to the point of death. That's what it's talking about there. That no more breath. We lay that down. It's no more I give my life of die or death. But the other part of this scripture is soul. And actually, the Bible talks a lot more about the soul part than it does the life part. So basically, it's saying here also that we lay down things about our soul. In other words, our mind, will, and emotions. So Jesus even did that. We're going to talk about it a little bit later. But we're willing to lay down, set aside maybe some ways that we're thinking, maybe ways that we're feeling. There's emotions, right? And then the things that we want to do, our will, we're willing to lay those down. And see, what happens is with this particular scripture, people have a tendency to focus more on the death or the dying part and miss a really important part about living. See, when you study this verse carefully, you'll see that Jesus is really teaching us not so much about dying, but about living. Sometimes people will focus on the death part of this verse to make a point about dying. And there's nothing wrong with that. And they'll have a tendency to tell a hero story. A lot of times about how someone gives their life for their friend or their family or their country. And now, we all agree that we believe that most of us are deeply touched when we see or hear someone that had died for their country or their friend or family. Amen? I mean, it touches you deeply when you see that much sacrifice. You understand that. But even more than that, Jesus is especially in the stories about dying, Jesus is making a strong point about living. See, in these verses, Jesus is teaching us what it takes to be a true friend and to really show our love toward others, to demonstrate our love toward others. Now, we need to remember, when Jesus taught this message, everybody listen, Jesus taught this message, he had not yet died on the cross. Okay? He was referring to the love he had demonstrated in his own life, and they had witnessed this love up to this point. See, they had watched Jesus live and spent time with him and watched him demonstrate this love. We've watched him lay down the things that he did. Jesus more really was talking about his soul, the mind, will, and emotions that he was able to let down, and that we're able to let down even as mothers and fathers. Verse 13 says, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Now remember what lay down means. Lay down means the what? Set aside. To bend as to place down and carry no longer. Jesus laid down some of those human thoughts and those human feelings and those human needs. And he really just basically laid down some of those normal human things that he may have wanted to do as a man. Now Hebrews chapter 4, Verse 15. Hebrews 4:15 is talking about Jesus right here. It says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin." Amen? Now, let's look at just a few examples of what Jesus may have laid down in his life up to this point. Now remember, he hadn't died yet. You know, that's definitely the huge, biggest significance of everything. But up to this point, he's still living and walking on earth, teaching, discipling, loving. I got six things I just kind of thought of. Jesus had to lay down, set aside, whatever he had to do to take on human form. I think about that. That could preach a whole message. God Almighty, the creator of the universe, creator of everything. And we don't really know what he had to do or what he did. Nobody does. But whatever he had to do to lay that aside for a while, just a little bit, to put on this human form, he was willing to do that. Now, Jesus laid down his will to obey his Father's will in heaven. Now, here's an interesting one. Jesus actually laid down a nice family business. If you look at it like that, the carpenter, Mary and Joseph. I mean, to be a carpenter in those days, you had tools. And to have tools in those days, you're middle to higher income. If you look at it like we look at things today. You know, a lot of guys were peasants back then, just living off the land and just making it, you know, hour by hour, day by day. I mean, even when Jesus was a 6-pound baby Jesus, you know, what was the Magi? The three kings? It really wasn't three kings, but I mean, that makes a good Christmas story. But they brought Mary and Joseph gold and frankincense and myrrh. Very valuable, you know, mineral and oils and spices and herbs, this kind of things. Very valuable. So when Joseph and Mary first started out, they were banking it. So if we could speculate a little bit, which is, they had a little money. That might be how they got into the carpentry business. And who knows with that? But Jesus had to lay that down. Jesus laid down any manly desires that he may have had for women. A lot of times we don't like to look at it like that, but he had emotions, he had feelings, he had all these, the Bible's clear about all these feelings and emotions that he had, these neurotransmitters clicking around in his brain as in human form. So if there was anything there, he had to lay that down. We just read in Hebrews that he was tempted just like we're tempted. Jesus laid down the opportunity to be an earthly king. He just laid it down. And every other crazy idea that Satan tried to offer him during that 40 days out fasting in the desert, he was able to lay that down and said, "No, I don't need that. We all know he used Scripture to rebuke the enemy, but he laid it down. Here's an interesting one that sometimes we don't think about. I like to look at things real practical and try not to be too spiritual about stuff, but real practical. Jesus had to lay down the idea of hanging around his parents in their hometown and just growing up with his family and friends. This human side of him. You know, he had to get close with his family. So he had to lay that down because he had a mission. He had a purpose. He had a calling from his Father. So he had to lay that down. Guys, if we celebrate and honor our mothers today, these verses sort of remind me of how mothers lay down their lives every day serving their families. and they're living out God's calling of motherhood on this earth. Is that not a calling from God? To me, a mom, a mother? Amen, it is. Think of the many times a mom has laid down her life in order to love or show love to her children. And most of us have heard stories where mothers actually have had to die protecting their children or some sad story. Yes. But in this case, it's talking more about, we're talking more about the second part of this, the soul, the mothers who made sacrifices and laid down their lives with their soul, their emotions, their mind, and their will. Some of you know exactly what I mean by that. We have to lay those things down. We understand that that kind of love is service. It's serving. Mothers serve their families. They sacrifice their time and their energy. And sometimes their money. Mothers give their heart and soul to their children. And they do it for the rest of their lives. No matter how old they get, right, ladies? They're always your son or your daughter. Sometimes these mothers sacrifice their own dreams to demonstrate the love of Christ for their children or their family. I'm going to share a story with you real quickly. I grew up on a farm. We didn't farm. We just had a poor old single-wide mobile home stuck out on somebody else's farm. And it was either feast or famine. It was either food stamps or Salvation Army, or one day we're doing good and one day we're not. We always had chickens, turkeys, guineas. I was scared of guineas. Like a chicken on crack. Sorry. We had these chickens. We always had about 500 to 1,000 chickens. I'm not kidding you. And my dad, you know, they gathered chickens, and I would steal chickens for them and steal pigeons out of barns. Sorry, y'all. I was old Dallas. And they had running chickens down to Florida, and I didn't realize later that they would sell them to the witch doctors down in Miami. And that was a crazy ordeal, you know. Thank you, Jesus, right? He became the curse for us on the cross, and we don't have to worry about those kind of things anymore. But anyway, so we always had chickens to eat. So when we wouldn't have a lot to eat, my mom would go out and we'd wring a chicken's neck. Anybody done that? And we would eat chicken. And I love fried chicken. And I love wings, chicken wings. I don't know what it was. I just love chicken wings. I mean, I've become a master at eating it. Boy, I'm talking about where you take the little wing and pull the little two bones out where you got the whole meat. Anybody on me? If you need to demonstrate that later, I'll let you know. But the chicken wings. And so I got all the chicken wings. As a kid growing up, they could have, my mom always ate the neck bone, gnawed on the neck bone, and the gizzards and thighs. And my daddy always got the breast because he liked the breast. Anyway, so I got these chickens. I never figured that out. And it's kind of a funny story, but I'm telling you, it touched me at the core of my being later on as a young adult. Because I don't even remember how old it was. It was like after the Marine Corps. I got back home. I was at home and went to my mom's house, and she had a big old, like, 8-piece chicken wings from somewhere. And I said, "Hey, Mama," and this is, I'm in my early 20s now, I'm an adult. And I said, "I thought you didn't like chicken wings." See where I'm going? I know it's a goofy little funny story, but I said, "Mom, I didn't think you liked chicken wings." She said, "Oh, I love chicken wings." And it just hit me right then. I just started bawling and crying. She gave me those chicken wings when I was little. Just a little thing. That's a little thing. That's what mamas do, isn't it? She was willing to lay aside. You started quit. She was able to lay beside those chicken wings so I could have them. Amen. Back to the original verse 16 and 17 says this. Jesus says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command," Jesus says, "to love each other." You see, guys, we didn't get to choose our mothers. God chose our mothers for us. I always pray for the ones out there. You know, you see this Facebook stuff flying around. And I always pray for the ones who they had bad mamas. Abusive mamas, you know. They're out there, right? If you had a good mother, be grateful. You learned what to do. If you had a bad mother, be grateful. You learned what to do. There's a story about an abusive, unemployed, alcoholic mother that raised twin girls. One of the twin girls turned out just like her mother. Abusive, unemployed, and an alcoholic. When she was older, a social worker asked her, "How did this happen?" The woman said, "I learned from my mother." The other twin girl turned out just fine. Earned a college education, got married, and serves the Lord. When she was older, the same social worker asked her the same question, "How did this happen?" The woman said, "I learned from my mother." If you're a follower of Christ, He is calling you to continue bearing fruit. Mothers, grandmothers, He is calling you to hunker down, as we say in Georgia, right? And continue bearing fruit. Times are tough, I know. Hunker down and continue bearing fruit. The fruit that lasts forever. With your children, your grandchildren. Maybe the men and women who are your discipling underneath you. Continue bearing fruit. The fruit of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. The fruits of the Spirit talks about in Galatians. These are the fruits of the Spirit that will flow from generation to generation and to generation. Mothers, run the race. Stay the course. Just as Paul said in Acts 20:24, he said, "I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task that the Lord Jesus Christ has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace." And well, isn't that where mother's center core is grace and mercy. As we close, I want to pray these five things for you mothers. And I'm just going to say them out loud, but this has been my prayer for you the last week, and it's going to be my prayer for you in the next few weeks. Here it is. There's five. Mothers, I pray, and grandmothers, I pray that you will rest in your purpose and your calling as mothers. Number two, I pray that you will forgive yourself for making mistakes. Number three, to accept the fact that you are not perfect and never will be. Number four, I challenge you to continue or to start, whichever applies, to just enjoy your family. Enjoy your children. And number five, always, always remember this, moms. God loves you. God loves you. Let's pray. Father, what a precious time, Lord, we have to be able to lift up the name of Jesus. And as Jesus is our ultimate role model for laying down things in his life and sacrificing, even on this earth and then eternally for our salvation and the death, burial, and resurrection. Lord, we are just so grateful. We don't have the words to even come out of my mouth, how grateful and we are. I want to thank you for the mothers and grandmothers in here and the potential mothers and grandmothers that's out there in the future. Lord, I pray, Lord, that these five things would pierce the heart and they would walk in your grace, producing the fruit. Father, if there's one here this morning that does not know you as their personal Savior, Lord, that you draw them to salvation. You draw them to the foot of the cross. Lord, that they would come down, talk with me or one of the men down here about getting saved and born again. Or if there's one here who'd like to join our church, or maybe someone would like to get baptized. Holy Spirit, we know that you're in charge of all that. It's not about what I say or say it right or whatever. It's, Lord, you call people into salvation. Holy Spirit, we trust you with all this. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.